إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، إن شاء الله تعالى welcome all of you here to the fifth conference of Masjid Ahlul Quran wa Sunnah, entitled An-Nasiha Liman Sa'ala An-Sabeel As-Sahiha, Advice to Those Who Ask or Seek the Correct Path or the Truth. And this conference, brothers and sisters, is practically divided in two parts. The first is for those who are seeking the truth amongst, from Kufr to Islam, coming to the truth of Islam, and the second part, which is those who are seeking the truth within Islam, that is to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As some of the salaf used to say, I do not know, or I do not know which is a greater blessing or which is more important, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me to Islam or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me to the sunnah. So we know that if a person is a Muslim, he still needs to seek the truth, which is to follow the sunnah and the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the first lecture today, inshallah ta'ala, will be about giving da'wah to the kuffar, inviting them to the truth of Islam. And it will be given by Sheikh Osama Al-Qusi, who is from Egypt and who is amongst the well-known students of Sheikh Muqbal, as well as Shaykh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahumullah. So without any further ado, we request your attention, and inshallah ta'ala, pass over the mic to the Shaykh. And our Abu Usama al-Zahabi will be translating this lecture. Jazakumullah khair.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ثم أما بعد، محاضرة الآن، محاضرة هذا الوقت بعنوان الدين الحق. الدين الحق، ورب العزة سبحانه وتعالى يقول في كتابه العزيز: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. ويقول سبحانه وتعالى: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. ويقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. ويقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: وما أكثر الناس ولو حرصت بمؤمنين. ويقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون. ويقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: وإن تطع أكثر من في الأرض يضلوك عن سبيل الله. ويقول رب العزة جل في علاه: ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. ويقول جل في علاه: وقليل من عبادي الشكور. ويقول سبحانه: وقليل ما هم. والنصوص في هذا الباب كثيرة، أن دين الحق هو الإسلام وهو التوحيد، وأن أكثر الناس لا يعرفون التوحيد ولا يقدرون الله حق قدره ولا يشكرون الله عز وجل حق شكره. فبعث الله أنبياءه ورسله وأنزل كتبه ليخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور. فالظلمات جمع والنور مفرد، الباطل كثير، الشرك أنواعه كثيرة، والإسلام والتوحيد والنور واحد، ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل. فالله وحده هو الحق ودينه هو الحق، وكل ما سوى ذلك باطل. وجميع الأنبياء والرسل جاءوا بالتوحيد. نوح عليه السلام موحد مسلم، إبراهيم عليه السلام موحد مسلم، بل هو إمام الحنفاء، وملته هي ملة التوحيد، ملة إبراهيم. وهكذا من جاء بعد إبراهيم: إسحاق ويعقوب ويوسف وكل الأنبياء والرسل، وأيوب وإدريس وإلياس وزكريا ويحيى وموسى وعيسى عليهم جميعا السلام، كانوا مسلمين وكانوا موحدين، جاءوا بدين الإسلام بإخلاص العبادة لله سبحانه وتعالى، جاءوا بالتوحيد بإفراد الله بالعبادة: أن اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا. فهذه هي دعوة الأنبياء، وهذا هو دين الأنبياء، وهذه ملة الأنبياء. فكل الأنبياء جاءوا بالحق، جاءوا بالإسلام، جاءوا بالتوحيد: أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت، أفردوا الله بالعبادة، واكفروا بكل ما يعبد من دون الله عز وجل. هذا هو الحق، وهذا هو الدين الحق، وهذه هي دعوة الحق. وكل من خالف ذلك فإنه لا يعرف دين الله ولا يعرف دعوة الأنبياء والمرسلين.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The Sheikh went on to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to send salutations of peace and blessings upon his messenger and upon his family members and his companions and all of those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he went on to bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Allah alone should be worshipped, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. And after that he went on to say, today's lecture that's going to be given at this particular time, it is called the true religion. And when we speak about the true religion, we should understand what our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has said in the Quran, in a number of ayat, in a number of verses of the Quran. And then he proceeded to read some of those verses, like the statement of Allah ta'ala as it relates to the true religion. He said, Azza wa Jal, verily the religion to Allah is al-Islam. And then in another ayat he said, and whoever chooses a religion other than al-Islam, it will never be accepted from him, and he will be from the losers in the hereafter. And also Allah Ta'ala said, and that is the true religion, al-Islam, the straight religion, but most of the people do not know. He also said in another ayat of the Quran, and the majority of the people will not believe, even if you try to make them do so. He said in another ayat, and the majority of them will not believe in Allah except that they will be mushrikun, or they will be people who will commit shirk, polytheism. And in another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you were to follow the majority of the people in the earth, verily they will lead you astray from the way of Allah. He went on to read another ayat and he said, you will not find most of them except that they will be disbelievers. And in another ayat he said, you will not find most of them giving thanks to Allah. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, only a few or the minority of my servants are thankful. The Shaykh went on to say that the texts for this issue, they are many. The texts that show that al-Islam is the truth, and that the Tawheed of al-Islam is the truth, and that the majority of the people are not cognizant of this reality, of the reality of the truthfulness of al-Islam and the reality of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the majority of his prophets and his messengers to show the people, that Allah ta'ala is the one who needs to be worshipped and who should be worshipped. So those prophets and their messengers, and those messengers, they came to the people in order to take them out of the depths of darkness into the light of al-Islam. And he went on to make a point as it relates to this. He said that this word of dhulumat is a plural. It is the plural of one darkness, or dhulm. It is one. He said that the prophets and the messengers came to take the people out of the depths of the darknesses. He said that this is plural, but the light or the nur is only one. And that goes to show that the truth is only one, and Allah is one, and his religion is one. But the ways of what is batil, or ways of what is not acceptable, they are many. And the ways that lead to shirk or disbelief, they are also many. So whatever is the case, you will find that the people are not going to believe the proper way, the majority of the people. But instead, they call on and they worship that which is batil. But Allah Ta'ala, he is the truth, and his religion is the truth, and everything other than that reality is in and of itself batil. He went on to say that all of the prophets and all of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came to establish this tawheed of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his prophet Noah, Nuh, and he came calling to this. And after Nuh, he sent a series of prophets. One of them is Ibrahim, who called to this tawheed, and he called to this Hanafiyyah. He said, in fact, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is the imam of the Hunafa, or he is the imam of the people who are Hanif. And his millah is the millah of At-Tawheed, the millah of Ibrahim. In addition to that, all of the prophets and messengers who came after Ibrahim, the likes of Ishaq and Yaqub and Yusuf and Ayyub and Idris and Ilyas and Zakariya and Yahya and Musa and Isa, all of them were Muslims, and all of them were people who are Mawahidun. They all came with the same message and the same religion, the religion of truth, the religion of al-Islam, the religion of al-Ikhlas. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered and instructed them in the Quran when he said, worship Allah alone. You have no other God who should be worshipped along with him. The Shaykh said, this is the da'wah of all of the Anbiya, that they were on the oneness of a tawheed. And this is the religion of all of the Anbiya. And this is the millah of all of the Anbiya, that they all, without any exception, they came with the truth of the religion of al-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered all of them, worship Allah alone and stay away from the taghut. And the taghut is everything that is worshipped in falsehood other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that instruction and that message and that command was given to all of them without an exception. This is the truth and the da'wah of the truth. So anyone who is on other than that, he needs to know that he is on other than the real truth and other than the religion of Allah that has been sanctioned by him.
يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. فهذا أمر من الله سبحانه وتعالى لرسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن يقول قل. وفي هذا الأمر حكمة، وإلا فقد كان الله عز وجل قادرا أن يقول يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بينكم وبين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. كان الله عز وجل قادرا أن يقول لهم يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بينكم وبين المسلمين ألا تعبدوا إلا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضكم بعضا أربابا من دون الله. فكان الله قادرا أن يخاطبهم بمثل هذا الخطاب، لكنه سبحانه أبت حكمته إلا أن يأمر رسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم أن يقول ذلك قل. فمن أعظم الحكم في هذا الأمر أن يبين الله سبحانه لعباده كلهم أن رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم هو وحده الذي يتكلم عن الله، وهو وحده الذي يبلغ عن الله، فلا يمكن أن تعبد الله إلا باتباع أنبيائه ورسله، كما قال تعالى وما أرسلنا من رسول إلا ليطاع بإذن الله، وقال تعالى رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل. فلا يمكن أن تعبد الله إلا باتباع أنبيائه ورسله، لا يمكن أن تعرف الله إلا من خلال أنبيائه ورسله. فشهادة التوحيد والشهادة للأنبياء والرسل بالرسالة قرينان لازمان لا ينفك أحدهما عن الآخر. فالذي لا يؤمن بالرسل لا يمكن أن يكون مؤمنا بالله، والذي لا يؤمن بالله لا يمكن أن يكون مؤمنا بالرسل. لذلك لا سبيل لعبادة الله ولا لمعرفة الله ولا لتوحيد الله إلا باتباع أنبيائه ورسله. وهذا الدين من أصوله العظيمة الإيمان بالرسل كلهم، لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. الأمة الوحيدة التي تؤمن بجميع الأنبياء والرسل هي أمة الإسلام. من كفر بنبي واحد فقد كفر بالإسلام وكفر بالله. اليهود زعموا أنهم آمنوا بموسى ولكنهم كفروا بعيسى، فلا ينفعهم إيمانهم بموسى حتى يؤمنوا بموسى وعيسى. واليهود والنصارى كفروا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، فليسوا مؤمنين بالله ولا برسل الله حتى يؤمنوا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. فإن موسى وعيسى عليهم السلام بشروا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وهذا موجود عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل، حتى بعد أن حرفوها وغيروها بقيت أدلة على بعثة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. ومن أوضح هذه الأدلة التي وردت في كتب أهل الكتاب ما وقع في الأسفار الموجودة عندهم، من أن الله سبحانه وتعالى أرسل أو يعني أظهر نوره من الطور، ثم من فلسطين من جبال الزيتون، ثم من جبال فاران. هذا وقع في كتبهم، وكأنهم لأنهم لا يعرفون فاران تركوا هذا دون تحريف أو تغيير. فالطور هو الجبل الذي كلم الله من عنده موسى عليه السلام، والزيتون حيث أشجار الزيتون حيث بعث عيسى عليه السلام في فلسطين، وجبال فاران هي جبال مكة. لكنهم لا يعرفون أن فاران تطلق على جبال مكة، فهذه البشارة موجودة في أسفارهم إلى يومنا هذا يتلونها، لكنهم يكابرون ويعاندون. والمراد من كلامنا هذا أنه لا يكون الإنسان موحدا ومؤمنا بالله سبحانه وتعالى إلا إذا آمن بجميع أنبيائه ورسله، وفي هذه الأيام لابد أن يؤمن بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نبيا ورسولا. فأمة الإسلام تؤمن بجميع الأنبياء، لا نكفر بأحد من الأنبياء والرسل، ومن كفر بأحد من الأنبياء والرسل فقد كفر بجميع الأنبياء والرسل وكفر بمن أرسلهم. فلا يكون العبد موحدا مؤمنا بربه حتى يؤمن بأنبياء الله ورسله جميعا. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه، والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت، ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا، ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
Sheikh went on to say after that, Ikhwan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, say, O people of the book, come to a word that is agreeable between us and between you. that we do not worship anyone other than Allah, and that we do not take each other as lords along with Allah. Allah went on to say in the same ayat, and if they turn away, Ya Muhammad, from this invitation, then say to them, then bear witness that we are Muslim. The Shaykh went on to say concerning this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering his messenger and his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say the word Qul. Allah is ordering the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to them. Allah said to them, to him, Qul, say unto these people. He said, in this command of Allah, telling the prophet to say Qul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that command is a tremendous wisdom. There is some wisdom contained in that. Because, in actuality, Allah has, and He had the ability to say by Himself in the Qur'an, Ya Ahlul Kitab, Ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum. Allah could have said by Himself without telling the Prophet to say, Allah could have said to them directly, O people of the book, let us come to a word that is agreeable between us and between you, that we do not worship anyone along with Allah, that we do not set up any partners with Him, and that none of us take ourselves or each other as lords along with Allah, to the end of the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone was capable of saying that, but instead we find Him ordering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say that. In this issue is one of the greatest wisdom in this ayah, and that wisdom is that the fact that Allah Ta'ala ordered him to say to those people, that Allah said to the Prophet Qul, and then ordered and instructed him to say the rest of the ayah to the people, he said it explains to us that only the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone is the one who can talk about Allah. Only Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone is the one who can make the tabligh, or he can relay the message of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be worshipped except by way of following the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah said in the Quran, and we have not sent a messenger except that he is obeyed by Allah's permission. We have not sent any messenger except that he should be obeyed by Allah's permission. And in another ayat that depicts and illustrates why the prophets and messengers are sent and that they have to be obeyed, and so that the people can understand, is the ayat in which Allah Ta'ala said, messengers who gave glad tidings and they warned the people so that they will not have an argument on Allah after the messengers came to them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be worshipped, and he cannot be worshipped except through the way of obeying the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is not known except by way of the messenger of Allah. So to have faith in Allah and faith in the messenger of Allah, they are two characteristics that are necessary. Each one necessitates the other, and they can never be separated or pulled apart one from the other. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, so therefore, the way that the servants of Allah come to know about Allah, come to know about the Tawheed of Allah, it is only fulfilled as a result of following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And this is from the basic and fundamental principles of this religion. And this is one of the basic and fundamental principles of this religion, that we accept all of the messengers and we do not make any distinctions between any of them. This is something that we find from the Ummah of Al-Islam practicing all by itself, that the Ummah of Al-Islam accepts all of the messengers, and to disbelieve in one of them is tantamount and an equals disbelieving in Allah. For a person to disbelieve in a single one of those messengers is equivalent to disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the Jews or the Yahud. They claim that they have faith or iman in Musa, but they go on and they say that they disbelieve in Isa, alayhi as-salatu was-salam. He said there's no benefit in that faith in Musa that they're claiming if they disbelieve in Isa. And then we have the Jews and the Christians, both groups. They disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as they disbelieve in Muhammad, they cannot be considered to be believers in Allah. Their rejection and their disbelief in Muhammad nullifies their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa and Isa alayhi as-salatu was-salam, they both came and they gave glad tidings about the appearance, and they prophesied about the coming of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And this is a fact that can be proven, and it can be found in their books, the Torah and the Injil. Even after they went and they made the tahrif, or they changed the book from its original form, they changed the Torah and they changed the Injil. But in spite of that, in spite of the fact that the change has been made, you can still find in their books that have been changed the proof of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that those two illustrious prophets, those two messengers, told the people and gave glad tidings about Muhammad. From the clearest proof of that is what has happened in the books that are with them right now. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent or made to appear His light. Allah has caused His light to appear on the mountain of At-Tur, on the mountain of Tur. And then from there in Palestine, He made His light appear on the mountain of Zaytun. And then from there, He made it appear on the mountain of Faran. The Sheikh went on to explain the significance of the mentioning of those three mountains. The mountain of At-Tur is the place in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Musa to come forth when he started his da'wah. And the mountain of Zaytun is a place in Palestine in which Isa came forth when he started his da'wah. And the mountain of Faran is a group of Mecca, is a group of mountains that is located in Mecca. So those people, they didn't know that the meaning of Faran is in Mecca. So when they changed their book, they didn't know the meaning of Faran. So they left the word as it was. And it is one of the clear proofs, since the people know that Faran is a group of mountains of Mecca, that it was prophesizing and telling about the coming and the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And this is present with them to this very day at this particular time. So the intent behind all of this kalam is what? The intent is that we want to make it clear that a person cannot be considered to be a believer until he believes in all of the prophets and all of the messengers. So in this day and time in which we are living right now, we have the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Whoever disbelieves in a single prophet or messenger, then what he has done is he has in fact disbelieved in all of the prophets and all of the messengers. And he has also, in addition to that, disbelieved in the one who sent those prophets and who sent those messengers, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh proceeded to read the last two ayats, or the last three ayats from Surah Al-Baqarah, that begin by saying, the prophet or the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believes in that which was revealed to him from his Lord. So do the believers. They believe in Allah, and they believe in the malaika, and they believe in the books of Allah, and they believe in the messengers of Allah, and they do not make any distinctions between any of them. And he went on to read the rest of that ayat that anyone can refer back to.
قل يا أهل الكتاب. عرفنا من هذه الكلمة قل أنه لا طريق لتوحيد الله وعبادته إلا بالإيمان بأنبياء الله ورسله وبخاصة خاتمهم وسيدهم محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. الذي جعل الله صدقه من أعظم الأدلة على رسالته، فما أخبر بشيء إلا وكان كما أخبر، وما قال شيئا إلا كان كما قال، ولم يكذب على الناس حتى يكذب على الله، وعلاماته موجودة في الكتب السابقة، فجاءت مطابقة لحاله ووصفه صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. واليهود والنصارى مقرون بأن هناك نبيا، لكنهم حاولوا أن يكذبوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بقولهم ليس هو الذي في كتبنا، وأما المنصفون منهم فأقروا بالحق والحقيقة وقالوا هو الذي نجده في كتبنا. ولذلك أمرهم الله سبحانه وتعالى على لسان نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن يفردوا الله بالعبادة، كما في هذه الآية الكريمة: قل يا أهل الكتاب، خطاب لهم، أمر الله به نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم: قل يا أهل الكتاب. وأهل الكتاب هم اليهود والنصارى. تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم، نحن لا نميز أنفسنا عنكم ولا نطالبكم بشيء لا نلتزم به، بل يلزمنا ما يلزمكم ويلزمكم ما يلزمنا. تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم، نحن وأنتم فيها سواء، ألا نعبد إلا الله. الإسلام دين لا يعرف العنصرية، لا يعرف التفرق والتشرذم على أسس عرقية. الإسلام لا يعرف هذه الفرقة، الإسلام دين عالمي. ولذلك لما حاول بعض اليهود والنصارى أن يزعموا الإنصاف فقالوا نؤمن أن محمدا رسول الله، نشهد أنه رسول الله، لكن كما كان الله سبحانه وتعالى يرسل كل رسول أو كل نبي إلى قومه خاصة، فكذلك محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم هو كذلك رسول إلى قومه خاصة، فنحن نشهد أنه رسول الله لكن إلى قومه خاصة. وهنا أتذكر مناظرة وقعت بين العلامة ابن قيم الجوزية رحمه الله وبين واحد من اليهود، ذكرها رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه هداية الحيارى إلى أجوبة اليهود والنصارى، هو كتاب جيد أنصح بقراءته، أنصح المسلمين وغير المسلمين بقراءة هذا الكتاب هداية الحيارى إلى أجوبة اليهود والنصارى. فذكر ابن قيم الجوزية رحمه الله في هذا الكتاب أنه لقي رجلا من اليهود من علمائهم، فقال له ابن قيم الجوزية: أتظن أن محمدا يكذب على الله طوال 23 عاما ويتركه الله عز وجل يكذب عليه دون أن ينتقم منه، بل بدلا من أن ينتقم منه ينصره وينجيه من أعدائه، بل وينصره على أعدائه ويفتح عليه بلد الله الحرام وهو يكذب على الله؟ فاليهودي قال لا يمكن أن يكون هذا كاذب، لا بد أن يكون صادقا. قال له طيب أنت الآن تصدقه أو تكذبه؟ قال أصدقه، لكن أشهد أنه رسول الله إلى العرب خاصة ليس إلينا نحن، لا يلزمنا اتباعه، نحن نتبع موسى عليه السلام والنصارى يتبعون عيسى عليه السلام وأنتم تتبعون محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال له هذا تناقض منك، لأنك لو أقررت بأنه صادق وقلت أؤمن وأشهد بأنه صادق فإنه يقول كما قال الله له يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا، فإما أن تصدقه في هذه وإما أن تكذبه، فلا يصلح أن تكون مصدقا له ثم تأتي وتكذبه في هذه الكلمة، فإما أن تصدقه في كل ما أخبر به وإما أن تكذبه. فأفحمه وألجمه، ما استطاع أن يرد، وكان جوابه بدلا من أن يقول أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله إلى الناس جميعا قال لابن قيم الجوزية يا هذا إني مكرم في قومي يعطونني كذا وكذا من المال نظرا لمكانتي فيهم، وأنا لا أحسن صنعة من الصنعات الدنيوية، فلو أني شهدت أنه رسول الله إلى الناس جميعا فإنهم سيقطعون عني هذه الأموال، وأنا لا أحسن صنعة لا نجارة ولا حدادة ولا غير ذلك، فسأموت جوعا وسأضيع. قال له إذا أنت أحسنت الظن بالله فإن الله لن يضيعك، ولكن الرجل اعتذر بكلمات كما يقال دبلوماسية ثم انصرف. فهذه مناظرة تبين لكم كيف ينبغي أن يكون الحوار مع أهل الكتاب، ليس على طريقة بعض المعاصرين الذين يدخلون في حوار مع هؤلاء بسب مثلا رجالهم أو بسبهم أو بوصف كتبهم بأنها فيها كذب وفيها وفيها، ورب العزة سبحانه وتعالى يقول ولا تسبوا الذين يدعون من دون الله فيسبوا الله عدوا بغير علم، فإن أنت سببتهم سبوك، وإن أنت طعنت في كتبهم طعنوا في كتابك، لكن عليك بأن تدعوهم إلى التوحيد. وأذكر هنا بالمناسبة مناظرة أخرى، هذه المناظرة مناظرة قيمة جدا موجودة في المجلد الأول من مجموع فتاوى شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله، مناظرة وقعت بين شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية وبين مجموعة من رهبان النصارى عندما كان الشيخ في مصر. فجاء هؤلاء الرهبان وكانوا ثلاثة، جاءوا من صعيد مصر، جاءوا من الصعيد أي من الجنوب، ودخلوا على الشيخ في القاعة التي كان ينزل فيها وناظروه في الإسلام، فأقام عليهم الحجة بمثل ما في هذه الآية الكريمة قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله. فأفهمهم أن هذه ملة إبراهيم، أنتم تؤمنون بإبراهيم ونحن نؤمن بإبراهيم، إبراهيم عليه السلام ملته التوحيد، ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. وكيف يدعي اليهود أن إبراهيم كان يهوديا، وكيف يدعي النصارى أن إبراهيم كان نصرانيا، وما أنزلت التوراة والإنجيل إلا من بعده؟ ما عندهم عقل، كيف ينسبون المتقدم إلى المتأخر؟ فالصحيح أن المتأخر هو الذي ينسب إلى المتقدم وليس العكس، فكيف ينسب إبراهيم إلى اليهودية وما أنزلت التوراة إلا من بعده، وكيف ينسب إلى النصرانية وما أنزل الإنجيل إلا من بعده؟ فإبراهيم عليه السلام أن ندعوهم نحن وهم إلى ملة إبراهيم، ونحن وهم مأمورون بهذه الملة، فإن الله عز وجل أمر رسوله في كتابه فقال أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا، فنحن مطالبون ومأمورون باتباع ملة إبراهيم، التوحيد، التوحيد ملة إبراهيم. فشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية أقام الحجة على هؤلاء الرهبان الذين جاءوه من الصعيد بأن ملة إبراهيم هي التوحيد، وأننا لا ندعو عيسى ولا ندعو محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا ندعو الملائكة، ولا ندعو الجن، ولا ندعو الشياطين، ولا تتعلق قلوبنا إلا بالله سبحانه، وأن الله ليس كمثله شيء، فلا ولد ولا صاحبة ولا وزير ولا معين ولا نصير ولا مولى، بل هو غني عن العالمين، وأنه لا يعبد إلا الله. فإذا بهؤلاء الرهبان، وكانوا يعني على شيء من المعرفة بحال المسلمين في ذلك الزمان، قالوا: لماذا تنكرون علينا أننا ندعو عيسى ونحن نراكم تدعون السيدة نفيسة والحسين؟ فأنتم ونحن سواء، ونحن وأنتم متفقون على أن عيسى أفضل من الحسين وأفضل من نفيسة، فلماذا تنكرون علينا أننا ندعو عيسى ونتعلق به، وأنتم يا مسلمون تتعلقون بالحسين وتدعونه من دون الله، وتدعون نفيسة من دون الله، فلماذا تنكرون علينا؟ فقام شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية يشرح لهم ملة إبراهيم، وقال: هؤلاء المسلمون الذين تذكرونهم بهم شبه منكم. انظروا الإنصاف، ما في تعصب، أن ما دام هؤلاء مسلمين إذا نتعصب نقول لا لا هؤلاء ما يفعلون شركا وإنما يحبون الأولياء ويحبون الصالحين. لا، قال لهم: هؤلاء المسلمون الذين تذكرونهم هم كذلك وقعوا في الشرك، وهم بهم شبه منكم، أي هم مقلدون لكم في شرككم. وأما ملة إبراهيم فغير هذا وهذا، غير ما أنتم عليه وغير ما هؤلاء المسلمون عليه أيضا. فما وجد هؤلاء الرهبان إلا أن يقولوا لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية: ما أنت عليه أفضل مما نحن عليه ومما هؤلاء المسلمون عليه، وهو ملة إبراهيم. أقروا بالحق ثم انصرفوا. والشاهد على كل حال أنك دائما تحرص على بيان ملة إبراهيم، لأن إبراهيم متفق عليه بين أهل الكتاب جميعا وبين المسلمين كذلك، كلهم متفقون على إبراهيم. فعندما نقول ملة إبراهيم ماذا كانت، ماذا كان إبراهيم؟ هل كان يهوديا؟ لا. هل كان نصرانيا؟ لا. فماذا كان إبراهيم؟ كان موحدا، حنيفا، مسلما، لم يكن مشركا بالله عز وجل. ما كان يعبد الجن ولا الشياطين ولا الملائكة ولا الصالحين ولا النجوم ولا الأشجار ولا الأحجار. ما كان يعبد نوحا عليه السلام من دون الله، ما كان يعبد آدم من دون الله. لذلك الآية الكريمة جاءت في الصميم كما يقال: قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم، نحن وأنتم سواء، ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله. هذه هي عقيدة هذا الدين، هذه هي ركيزة هذا الدين، هذا أصل الإسلام، ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله.
The Sheikh went on to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said again, and he wanted to repeat the issue of the ayah, saying, O people of the book, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, we understand now from what has already been mentioned that the command of Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qul, say Ya Muhammad, we understand from that, from what has been explained, that there is no way for the person to understand the Tawheed of Allah and the worship of Allah except by believing in all of the Prophets and the Messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially with emphasis being placed upon the last of all of the Prophets and the Messengers, and the best of all of the prophets and the messengers, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his truthfulness from the greatest proof on his messages or his message, from the proofs that show and support the truthfulness and the reality of the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that Allah ta'ala has put the truth on his tongue, and that is from the greatest proof. And that he has never told the people about anything, nor did he ever prophesy to the people and inform them about something that was going to happen, except that it happened just as he said it. He didn't lie, he never lied on Allah, nor did he ever make a mistake. His characteristics are present, and they were present, and he was described, and those in the books that came before us, to the communities that came before us, and all of those characteristics, they came to us just as, when he appeared, they came to us just as he was described. We find the Jews and the Christians, they know this. They know this very well. But they try their best to disbelieve in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And they say, we don't believe in Muhammad. He's not the one who was described to us in our book. They try their best to reject this reality and this truth. And they say, we don't believe in him. He's not the one who was given to us as a description in our book. But you will find those people who try to be just from amongst them, they, after reading those descriptions and seeing how he came and what he came with, the ones who are fair and just, they say, yes, in fact, Muhammad is the one who was described for us in our book. For that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has commanded the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi, he has commanded those people on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make Allah ta'ala singular and one in their worship of Allah in this very ayah that we're talking about. On the tongue of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala has commanded the Jews and the Christians to worship Allah alone. When he said, say unto them, O people of the book, come to a word that is agreeable between us and between you, and that is that we do not worship anyone other than Allah, and we do not make shirk with anyone other than Allah, and we do not take each other as lords to be worshipped along with Allah. This ayah shows us that on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Jews and the Christians have been commanded to establish the true worship of Allah all by himself. He went on to start to explain this word, the kalima that is agreeable, or the word that is agreeable. The Shaykh went on to say the meaning of this word in this ayat, say, O people of the book, let us come to a word that is agreeable between us. He said, what we understand from this is that it is being said to those Jews and those Christians, that we Muslims, we do not want some special thing over you people. We are not saying for you to come and to do something other than what we're going to do. What is for us is for you. And what we're calling you to do, what is for you is going to be us, for us as well. We don't want you to do something, and we're going to do something different from what we're calling and inviting you to do. But instead, all of us, let us not worship anyone other than Allah, and let us not make shirk along with Allah. That is applicable for you people, and it is applicable for us. This is the religion of truth, because Al-Islam is a religion that does not make these kinds of distinctions, that it allows us Muslims to do something, and then when you come into Islam, or we're telling you, when you come into Islam, you do something else. This ansariya, or this racism, this is not something that is from the religion of Al-Islam, but instead it is foreign to the religion of Al-Islam, because the religion of Islam is a universal religion. So those people, when they try to play a game, and they try to be fair, and they try to be just, some of them tried to be fair, and they tried to be just, and they said, okay, we believe in Muhammad. We believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
is a messenger and he is the messenger. But you people who are Muslims, you believe that Allah Ta'ala has sent a prophet to each and every people. So we say, okay, likewise, we believe in Muhammad, but we believe that he is a prophet and he is a messenger exclusively to his people, meaning the Arabs. He's not a universal prophet as you're claiming. We bear witness to his prophecy, to his prophethood, and to his messengership, but we don't accept him as a prophet who has been sent to all of the people. The Sheikh said concerning this particular point, what comes to my mind is a debate or a discussion that took place between one of the great scholars of Al-Islam by the name of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, who had a debate and discussion with a Jew. And you can find this discussion in a book that he offered that is called Hidayatul Hayara ila Ajwibatil Yahudi wal Nasara, which can be described or translated as the guidance of one who doesn't know to the answers for the Jews and the Christians. That's how you can roughly translate that book. Hidayatul Hayara ila Ajwibatil Yahudi wal Nasara. In this book, you can find this discussion that took place between Ibn al-Qayyim and between this Jew. The Sheikh said, this is a tremendously beneficial book. It is a good book, and I advise the Muslim and the non-Muslim alike to read the book. The Jew and the non-Muslim. The Jew as well as the Muslim to read this book because of the benefit. He said that the Sheikh Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he met this Jew. And this particular Jew who was in question here, he was a scholar from amongst the Jews. So Ibn al-Qayyim, the scholar of al-Islam, said to the Jew, who was also a scholar in his religion, do you really believe, and do you really think, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend all of that time, 23 years, lying on Allah, not telling the truth about Allah? Muhammad is giving dawah and he's teaching and educating and he's calling to Islam for 23 years. That's the period that his dawah was. Do you truly believe, you Jew, that Allah will leave him 23 years lying on Allah and not hold him to account for those lies? Not only does Allah not hold him to account and punish him for lying 23 years on Allah, Allah gives him victory over his enemies, and he gives victory to him in his religion to the point that he allows him to conquer Mecca and to conquer the Balad al-Haram, the place that is the sanctified city. Do you really believe that this is consistent with logic? The Jew said, no, it's not consistent with logic that he will be left 23 years lying on Allah, and not only does Allah not punish him, but instead Allah blesses him and gives him victory over his enemy and victory over the land and so forth and so on. So the Jew said, okay, he's not a liar, nor did he lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sheikh said, so let me ask you, do you believe in him or do you disbelieve? He said to him, okay, we believe in him. We believe that. The man went on to say, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala said, so now you're left with no other alternative except to believe in that he was truthful or that he was lying. He went on to say, okay, you people, the Arabs, your community, they are with Muhammad, and we are the Jews and we believe in Musa, and the Christians, they are with Isa, Abu Muhammad. Ish katabtahuna. So as I said, the man said, okay, I still believe that he was sent to the Arabs alone, and we, the Jews, are responsible for believing in Moses, and the Christians are responsible to believe in Isa still, in spite of what you just said, the point you were making. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala went on to say to the man, this is a contradiction in and of itself. First of all, you claim that he is truthful. You claim that He is truthful in what he says, based upon the premise that I already established, which was, it's not consistent with logic that Allah would leave him 23 years to lie on Allah, and Allah gives him victory and so forth and so on. So you yourself, you're agreeing that he's truthful. All right, one of the statements of truthfulness that he said in the Quran, and you agree that he's truthful because Allah would not allow him to remain 23 years, give him victory over his ummah, over his enemy, and give him victory for his religion. Okay, one of the statements that he made is the statement of the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to say, O people, verily I am a messenger to all of you. That's one of his statements, that he established that he is the messenger of Allah to all of you. The Shaykh went on to say, so now you're stuck. You're faced with either believing everything that he said or disbelieving everything that he said. But you can't believe some things and disbelieve other things. And it's already been established that you said he was truthful. So for you to reject this and to remain on taking Moses and the Christians taking Jesus and leaving Muhammad to the Arabs, this is a contradiction. The Shaykh went on to say, you would have thought that Jew would have came to his senses and he would embrace the truth. He said, what do you think the answer or the response of the Jew was to Ibn al-Qayyim when he gave him this line of reasoning? He said that the Jewish scholar said to Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, listen, verily I am an honored person and I'm respected with the people who I'm with. And they support me by giving me money by virtue of my position with them in the society. And I don't know how to do anything else. I don't have any other abilities and any other skills in this dunya. So if I was to bear witness to the reality and the truthfulness of what you're saying, all of my money will be cut off and I would be finished and I would be through and I would die from starvation. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala said to the man, listen, if you were to have the husna dhan, if you were to have a good opinion about Allah, that Allah is not going to let you down, if you were to have a good opinion about Allah, the husna dhan about Allah, what he's going to do with you and how he's going to help you, Allah will not leave you to get lost like that. He said that the man went on to give a diplomatic response to that. He went on to take from this discussion and this debate some examples, and he said, what I just shared with you, brothers and sisters, is an explanation of how we should give dawah to people. This is my advice of how we should give dawah to people, and not to do what some of the mu'asireen do today. Some of the contemporary callers and teachers of today, when they give dawah to the Jews and the Christians, they give dawah by speaking ill of famous men and personalities from the Jews and the Christians. Or they give dawah by speaking ill of the books that the Jews and the Christians are upon. And when we look at the Quran, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, and do not curse, do not speak ill about those people who are calling on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless they will speak ill about Allah without any knowledge. So this ayah helps us understand why we should stay away from cursing their men, their personalities, and cursing their books. In addition to this discussion that took place between Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullahu ta'ala and that scholar from the Jew, this point that we're at and that we've arrived to, it also reminds me of another debate and another discussion that took place, and it can be found in the Majmu' al-Fatawa, in the very first volume of the Majmu' al-Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he had a debate and discussion with some of the monks of the Christians when they came to a place called Sa'id that is in Egypt. It is in the southern part of Egypt. Three of them came to Egypt and they came to discuss and to debate with the Shaykh based upon this particular ayah that we're dealing with. And that's the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O people of the book, say unto them, O people of the book, let us come to a word that is agreeable and acceptable between us and you, that we do not worship anyone other than Allah, and that we do not make shirk other than with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we do not take each other as lords along with Allah. Shaykh al-Islam, when he was discussing with those people, he had them to understand a very important point that is essential and vital in calling these people to Islam. And that is, he was calling them to the millah of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wassalam. The millah of Ibrahim, which was the dawah of at-tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Ibrahim was not a Jew, nor was Ibrahim a Christian, but Ibrahim was a Muslim, and he was Hanif, and he was not from the mushrikeen. Shaykh al-Islam, in calling them to Islam, he focused upon calling them to the millah of Ibrahim. He went on to say, how is it possible that Ibrahim could be connected to the Jews or to the Christians when he came after, or he came, Ibrahim came before both of those religions? The Jewish religion and the Christian religion, it came, or both of them came after Ibrahim alayhi salat, salawatullahi wa salamu. The Sheikh went on to say that this is one of the strongest proofs that we call to and that we call upon the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to be upon the millah of Ibrahim. Allah told us in the Quran, and follow the millah of Ibrahim, who was a Hanif. And the millah of Ibrahim was at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he established this argument that the people need to follow the millah of Ibrahim, which was the millah of at-tawheed. And he did not concern himself, nor did he concern the people or his dawah to those people with Musa, nor with Isa, nor did he call them to the belief in the malaika, nor did he call them to the belief in the jinn, nor did he call them to the belief of a great man or a saint or a mawla or anything like that. He called them to what? To the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. They went on to say to him, when he was calling them to the millah of Ibrahim, why do you Muslims, you and the other Muslims, why do you make inkar upon us? The fact that we connect ourselves and we tie ourselves to Isa ibn Maryam, why do you make inkar on that? When we see you Muslims also connecting yourself to Nafisa, and we see you connecting yourself to Isa, to Hussein, رضي الله عنه. So that those Christian men, they were asking Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, with that being the case, that you Muslims are connecting yourselves to those righteous people in your opinion, why do you make inkar on us when all of you agree that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is better than Nafisa and Isa is better than Hussein? Why do you complain about us and criticize us? Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he went on to say to them concerning this shubha, concerning this misunderstanding, he said, those Muslims who you see doing what you just described, they are similar to you Christians. They are similar to you Christians. The Shaykh went on to make a point and he say, look at the justice of Ibn Taymiyyah. We don't see him denying the reality of what those Christians pointed out, and we don't see him trying to explain away what some Muslims are doing. That's clear for anyone to see. He recognized that there are some Muslims who do that which is improper and that which is unacceptable. So Ibn Taymiyyah went on to explain to them that the millah of Ibrahim is other than the millah that those Christians were upon, and the millah of Ibrahim is other than the millah that those Muslims are upon who are worshipping or connecting themselves to Nafisa or Hussein. He went on to say, after that we found that those monks from the Christians, they went on to say, the thing that you are upon, you Ibn Taymiyyah, it is better than what we are upon, and it is better than what those other Muslims are upon who are connected themselves to Hussein, and they are connecting themselves to Nafisa. The Sheikh went on to say that the Shahid, or the point from all of this that he's trying to bring across to everyone is that we should have the hirf. We should do our best to call the people to the millah of Ibrahim. Make your dawah a dawah that is trying to explain and that is trying to call to the millah of Ibrahim, because all of the group who are in question, whether they are Jews, whether they are Christians, whether they are Muslims, whatever the case is, all of them are in agreement and they have a consensus that Ibrahim and his millah was the truth, that Ibrahim was Hanif and that he was a Muwahid and that he was a Muslim, that he did not worship the jinn, he did not worship the malaika, he did not worship any trees, he did not worship any rocks, he didn't worship anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what this ayah is talking about. It comes and it's expressing about this fact. When Allah ta'ala says to those people, oh people of the book, come to a kalima that is agreeable, come to a word that is agreeable, that we do not worship anyone or anything other than Allah, and that we do not make shirk with Allah, nor should we take anything, as we should not take each other as monks along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the origin and the fundamental understanding and principle of the religion of Islam.
إذن الدعوة إلى التوحيد هي الفيصل بين الحق والباطل. ومما يؤسف له أن كثيرا من الذين ينتسبون إلى الدعوة إلى الإسلام لا يعرفون التوحيد، لا يعرفون التوحيد لأنفسهم، فلا ينتظر منهم أن يعرفوه لغيرهم. التوحيد دين الأنبياء أصبح مجهولا عند كثير من الناس، حتى هؤلاء الذين ينتسبون إلى الدعوة إلى الإسلام تجدهم لا يتكلمون عن التوحيد لأنهم لا يعرفون التوحيد. بل كثير منهم إذا قلت له ما معنى لا إله إلا الله يقول لك معناها معروف، لا خالق إلا الله، وهذا ليس هو التوحيد الذي بعث الله به الرسل وأنزل به الكتب. لو قلت لأبي جهل لا خالق إلا الله يقول لك أهلا وسهلا، لا خالق إلا الله، لا رازق إلا الله، أهلا وسهلا، ما عنده مشكلة. متى يغضب أبو جهل وأبو لهب؟ إذا قيل لا إله إلا الله، أي لا معبود بحق إلا الله، عندها يغضبون ويقولون أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدا إن هذا لشيء عجاب. وانطلق الملأ منهم أن يمشوا واصبروا على آلهتكم إن هذا لشيء يراد. التوحيد البراءة من الشرك وأهله، البراءة من الكفر وأهله، هذا هو التوحيد. البراءة من الباطل وأهله، البراءة من جميع المعبودات. لا إله إلا الله ليس معناها لا خالق إلا الله. لذلك لو كان أبو جهل وأبو لهب على قيد الحياة اليوم وجاءهم هؤلاء الذين ينتسبون إلى الدعوة وقالوا الله خلقنا، الله رزقنا، أبو لهب يستجيب له، ما عنده مشكلة، تعال معنا يا أبا لهب، أهلا وسهلا، ما في مشكلة، لا خالق إلا الله، لا رازق إلا الله، الله خالقنا، الله رازقنا. أبو لهب يرحب بهذا، أبو جهل يرحب بهذا، أبو طالب يرحب بهذا، لأنه لا يعارض ما هم عليه في شيء. ولذلك بعض هؤلاء لما عرف التوحيد قال لا نقدر على هذا، بل قال بعضهم بلسان الحال والآخرون بلسان المقال، قالوا توحيد، قالوا شرك يجمعنا خير من توحيد يفرقنا، هكذا قالوا. إذا نحن دعونا إلى هذا التوحيد الذي أنتم تتكلمون عنه سينفض الناس من حولنا، سيتركونا، سينفضون عن دعوتنا. الدعوة إلى التوحيد هي الفيصل، هي المحك، هي الابتلاء. ابتلي إبراهيم عليه السلام من أجل التوحيد، ابتلي نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم من أجل التوحيد، عاداه اليهود والنصارى من أجل التوحيد. قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. إذا رفض أهل الكتاب هذه الدعوة لسنا مطالبين أن نتغاضى عن الحق وأن نتنازل عن الحق من أجل أن يدخلوا في الإسلام، لأننا في هذه الحالة سنغير الإسلام من أجلهم، وهذا هو الحاصل. معظم المشتغلين بالدعوة في هذه الأيام يغيرون الإسلام من أجل إرضاء الناس، يغيرون الدين من أجل دخول الناس فيما يزعمون أنه الدين. ليس هذا هو دين الإسلام. الدين الحق لا يتغير ولا يتبدل، نوالي عليه ونعادي عليه، نحب فيه ونبغض فيه. فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. لا يمكن أن نتنازل عن حرف من الحق من أجل الناس، بل نقول للناس تعالوا إلى الحق، هلم إلى الحق، فإن رفضوا الحق نقول اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. هذا هو دين الحق، وهذه هي دعوة الحق. لا معبود بحق إلا الله، أن اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره، اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت، من أجلها قامت السماوات والأرض، من أجلها أنزل الله الكتب وأرسل الرسل، من أجلها رفعت راية الجهاد. ليس كما يصور للناس هؤلاء أصحاب الفتن، لا، دعوة التوحيد هي الإسلام، والبلاء من أجلها، والامتحان من أجلها، والصبر من أجلها. هذه دعوة الأنبياء، هذا دين الله، هذا دين الإسلام. أسأل الله أن يحييني وإياكم على الإسلام، وأن يميتني وإياكم على الإسلام. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.
The Sheikh أحسن الله إليه, he finished, brothers and sisters, by saying, so therefore the da'wah to at-tawheed is the faithful, or it is the distinguishing thing between the truth and the batin, falsehood. He said, and what makes us very sad is what we see today from the people who connect themselves to al-Islam, and they consider themselves to be educators of the religion calling to al-Islam. They don't have an idea about what at-tawheed is. They do not know how to call to it or what it is. A tawheed in and of itself has become an issue that is not known by them and not known by many of the people. If you were to ask one of them, what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? They would say the meaning of that is well known. It means that there is no creator except Allah. And he went on to say, but this is not the meaning of a tawheed. If you said to Abu Jahl that the meaning of La ilaha illallah is that there is no creator but Allah, if you said to Abu Jahl that there is no La ilaha illallah means that there is no Lord besides Allah, Abu Jahl would have said to you, welcome, welcome, I appreciate that, I welcome that definition. He wouldn't have a problem with you. When will Abu Jahl get angry with you and have a problem with you as it relates to your definition of La ilaha illallah? It's when you define it as being there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. If you define the kalima to tawheed, La ilaha illallah, to Abu Jahl by saying the meaning of that is there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, then Abu Jahl's response to you was going to be what the people of Quraysh said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran. Have you made the gods into one god? Surely this is a strange thing that you have brought. He went on to say, so at-tawheed is, and he mentioned another ayat that we didn't get. He went on to say that at-tawheed is freeing yourself from ash-shirk and the people of ash-shirk. At-tawheed is freeing yourself from everything that is the opposite of at-tawheed and the people who are upon that particular thing. If Abu Jahl was present today, and Abu Lahab, and these people who are trying to teach the way that they understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah, if they came to Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and they explained to them their definition of At-Tawheed, you will find Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, both of them agreeing and embracing this da'wah of the people. They would have answered the invitation based upon what those people were defining, the kalima to Tawheed, La ilaha illallah. He went on to say that they would respond by saying, Ahlan wa sahlan, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. And you would call them and say, La ilaha illallah, ya Abu Jahl. It means there's no, that Allah, there's no creator but Allah. There's no God but Allah. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Abu Talib, all of them would have accepted that concept because they didn't have a problem with that concept. They understood it. He went on to say, but when they knew that a Tawheed meant other than that, then we find that they were rejecting the truth. Concerning these people who don't understand the definition of La ilaha illallah, we find them doing what? We find their actual tongues saying, we've heard this from some of their tongues, and we find that the tongues of their condition, if their condition could speak for them, the tongue of their condition, some of them would say, look, the shirk that brings us together and unites the people is better than the tawheed that divides us. We don't want to lose the people by teaching them a tawheed. If we begin to teach the people the reality of the meaning of a tawheed, what's going to happen in essence is that knowledge of the reality of a tawheed is going to divide the people and make them into different groups, and we're going to lose our followers. So therefore, let us leave them on this corrupt understanding and this polluted understanding that they're already on. Because the shirk that they're upon, that they're united upon, it is better than the tawheed that will divide them. The Sheikh went on to say concerning this tawheed, it is this tawheed that Ibrahim was tried as a result of it. And it is this tawheed that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was tried as a result of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, let us come, you people of the book, to a kalima, to a word that is agreeable, that is acceptable between us and you. And that is that we do not worship anyone other than Allah, and we do not commit shirk with Allah, nor that we take each other as laws along with Allah. And Allah went on to say, and if they turn away Muhammad, then say to them, then bear witness that we are Muslim. The Sheikh went on to say, the last portion of this ayat, it shows that if the people of the book, if they reject this call and this invitation, then it is not befitting nor is it acceptable for us to leave the truth because they rejected it. We do not change the religion of Islam because they can't get with the program, because they can't understand it, because they don't want to accept and embrace. This is what we find the people doing today. When they find the person who they are calling to Islam, when they find that person rejecting the call and the invitation, the people of today, what they do is they change Islam in order to make it alluring to the person so that the person can come into Islam. The Sheikh said, this is not correct. But instead, what we do is we love and we hate based upon our religion. If they accept it, we love them. If they hate it, if they reject it, then we hate them. We don't change the religion. So if they reject the truth, then we say to them, just as the ayat said to them, if they turn away and they reject it, we say, then bear witness that we are Muslim. You can reject it if you want, but we know it's the truth, and we're going to remain on the truth, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala has ordered the believers by saying, worship Allah alone. Worship Allah alone and stay away from the taghut. And for this, the messengers have been sent, and for this, the jihad has been legislated, and for this, the heavens and the earth, they have been created. And then the Sheikh went on to make a series of dua and supplications for himself, as well as the brothers in the audience.
JazakAllah khairan, Shaykh Usama Al-Qusi and Brother Abu Usama Zahabi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them in this life and the next. Before we part,
a quick note on our schedule. Inshallah ta'ala, the salah will be in 5 minutes. The Zuhr Salah, the brothers will be praying in the hall right behind the registration desk where they registered. And inshallah ta'ala, the sisters will be praying behind the room in this auditorium. And then we will have, please note on the schedule, there's a separate schedule for the brothers and a separate schedule for the sisters. As far as for the brothers, we will meet here again at 1:45 for the second lecture of Sheikh Suleiman Hilali. And the sisters, at that time, at 2 o'clock, they will report to the cafeteria for lunch. And at this time, of course, we know that we're sharing the place of the cafeteria for lunch and vending. But during the time that the sisters have lunch, please, brothers, there's no brothers will be allowed to enter the cafeteria for vending purposes. Furthermore, for the sisters, after their lunch at 2 o'clock, they finish at 3. There will be a lecture by Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasr at 3:30 to 5. And during this time, the brothers will have lunch in the cafeteria from 3:30 to 4:30. And please note for the brothers that there is, and the sisters as well, there's a separate desk provided for the Islamic seminar registration, which will begin this Monday, which will last for 2 weeks, where these mashayikh will be giving Islamic courses and where ijazah will be given to those people who pass these courses. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll break now to make wudu and make the salah. The wudu areas are marked with the poster, with the flyers. For the brothers' area is separate and the sisters' areas are second. Separate, and we ask the brothers to convene here immediately at 1:45 so we can continue on with the schedule on time. Jazakumullah khair.